Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify. Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This is our NBA guy, Nick Wright. Covers everything, but this morning we are focused on NBA because there's a lot of it to talk about. You got the Lakers drama, which is heating up out west. The Celtics disappointing season is now officially over. We got to start one particular place with the Rockets and the Warriors and pivotal game five for them. Let's pick this up late third quarter. Big scare for the Warriors when Kevin Durant goes down, grabbing his leg. Good news, it was not his Achilles, just a calf strain, as is being reported. He would not return. Kevin Durant will have an MRI today. They'll wait and see what happens there. Fourth quarter, this was close. Warriors up two. Draymond Green drills the three, goes bananas afterwards. 15 seconds left. Warriors up three now. Klay Thompson nearly loses the ball, but there's Kevon Looney. Watch it. Get it back. Right back to him. Klay goes up for the layup. Warriors go on to win 104-99. They go up 3-2 in the series. Here's Golden State head coach Steve Kerr after the win.
If Kevin is out, then what you saw in the fourth quarter is what you're going to have to see going forward. You know, we're going to have to find a way. Got it done today. I don't know if you're a soccer fan, but Liverpool yesterday came out with just one of the great wins in soccer history. And after the match, their manager, Jurgen Klopp, said, the young kids in Liverpool are probably asleep by now. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it, but our boys are giants. That's what he said. And I know how he feels. So I apologize to my mom, who is probably watching, but our guys are giants. Like, that was an unbelievable victory tonight. What's that? Yes, after dark. I'm a different guy right now.
All right, Nick, how'd they do it? Had the Warriors beat the Rockets, especially once Kevin Durant left the game?
Well, if Kevin Durant didn't leave the game, at that moment when Kevin Durant made his first shot of the second half with a couple minutes left in the third quarter, the Warriors had squandered a 20-point lead. The Rockets had all the momentum. The announcers were correctly saying the Warriors looked totally sapped of energy. The Rockets were on pace. The trajectory was they were going to overcome that 20-point deficit, overcome the 14-point halftime deficit, and win that basketball game. And then Kevin Durant went out. They had the fourth quarter break to regroup, did the Warriors, and they instantly turned into the original Splash Brother Warriors. Draymond is doing his snarling, agitating, hitting open threes thing. Steph is running around screens. Ball movement, ball movement, ball movement. They can attack you from any place. Their defense got better. Their offense got better. Steph was having a playoff game that would have trumped game three on the list of worst playoff games of Steph's career. He instantly became Steph Curry again. And the Warriors, maybe out of desperation, maybe because it could have been the last game at Oracle, maybe because of the rallying moment of, I'm sure they thought KD might be done as a Warrior. It looked like to me, to I think a lot of people, he had popped his Achilles. Right. Turns out he hadn't. They came together and saved their season. Their season would have been over had they lost, so that's too strong to say. But they saved this game that the Rockets, it looked like, were going to overtake them. And they put themselves in a brilliant position, even without Kevin Durant, to be able to beat the one team that's given them trouble over the last 3 years.
Jenna, we talk about, of late, chemistry and how it's underrated. And when you have the type of organization that the Warriors do, and the type of players, and the level that they've played at for the number of years, you could see last night, they dug into that treasure chest of experience that they've had. Like this group, as far as Iggy, Draymond, Klay, and Steph, they've been through some battles.
Right.
So not having KD on the court, are they not as good a basketball team? Yes, but they're still a good enough basketball team against this, you would think, Rockets team, to me, in the fourth quarter, that was challenged to be able to score the ball. Chris Paul, man. I mean, do you really have to worry about Chris Paul scoring the basketball? So to me, it was more about everything that we've been through. They put it on the line because their season was on the line. They could not afford to lose that game, not knowing what the prognosis was going to be with Kevin Durant, not knowing if he had tore his Achilles or he had strained his calf. The players on the court didn't know that, but they did know if they lose this game, go down 3-2, have to go back to Houston, potentially without Kevin Durant, their season could be over with before they even get to game 7 and able to utilize the home court advantage.
Let's talk a little bit more about Kevin Durant. Sure, they regained their composure, they figured out who they were, and they were able to win the game, as you mentioned. But now let's sort of spin it forward. How devastating would this be if Kevin can't give you anything else this series or potentially even further?
So Steve Kerr said after game 10, Kawakami, listen, we're going to list Kevin as doubtful. He's not playing in game 6. He said he won't even take the flight in game 6. Chris, you've dealt with multiple calf strains in your career.
Yes.
What would be your level of expectation for Kevin Durant even being available for a game 7?
And it's a little bit different playing football, because most of the football you're playing as a wide receiver, you're playing a little above the ground. But most football players, you're playing on the ground. So you don't have to elevate off of your toe. You're typically pushing off and going forward. So I believe, because I tore my left calf and then I tore my right calf later on in the same season, I'll be surprised if Kevin Durant plays any more basketball the rest of the season. And now that they're playing
the rest of the season.
Yes, because, I mean, yeah, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. I believe it's a 2-3 week injury. And if it's a 2-3 week injury, I mean, how effective is he going to be? And it's hard to get your conditioning, because it's hard to get conditioning when your calf, because it affects it. You can't do anything weight-bearing. And you could see when he was coming off the court last night, and the reason why I thought it was his calf compared to his Achilles, because when you strain your calf, you always want your toe to be coming up, because when your foot goes down, it's not dorsiflexed, there's more pain in the calf. So when he was trying to pull his toe up going off the court, I thought it was going to be a severe calf strain.
So let's assume, at the very least, Kevin Durant's done for this series. We know he's not going to play in game 6. We don't think he'll be available for game 7. Yeah, the Warriors are worse without him, but as is, we know the case. Can they win without Kevin Durant? I believe the answer is unequivocally yes. I believe now they're the only team in the league still playing. If Dame goes out, Embiid goes out, Jokic, Harden, Giannis, Kawhi, any of the other guys, their team is sunk.
Done.
The Warriors in the last 3 years are 29-4 without Kevin Durant when Steph plays. 29-4. That when Kevin Durant doesn't play and Steph does, they're 29-4. Now, they have some other limitations. I understand it. I'm not acting like they would be the favorites without Kevin Durant. But Charles Barkley after the game said they're done. If Kevin Durant's done, they are done. We saw what they can do. Steph, Klay, Draymond, Iggy. We know what that unit is. They flipped the switch in the fourth quarter. To me, they're not done without Kevin Durant.
Nick, I'm on the other side as far as we saw them finish the game, but they didn't have a full 48 minutes where I can game plan for them, and I know Kevin Durant is not coming back, and I don't have Kevin Durant who's going to put up those numbers to exhaust your defense. So Kevin had played more than a half of basketball. Now you don't have him for any minutes. And now my concentration, I can double team. I can trap Steph. I can force the ball out of his hand. I can do things. I'm not worried about anyone protecting the rim for them. And the reason why I don't believe in this theory either is their bench was better then. So you can look back at all those stats and everything. The Warriors had a good bench. So for me, a lot of those old Warrior stats, they're not relevant because their bench is not going to be there to be able to save them. Even though Sean Livingston is still there, he's not still the same player.
No.
And very little other help. So to me, I think when you can game plan, I think Houston has a huge advantage. I definitely thought they were going to win game number 6. And now game number 7. What if they have one of the Splash Brothers off, they're going to lose game number 7.
Oh, they
and that's
right.
not and that's not a luxury that they had with KD.
They need Steph and Klay to both be on to have any chance in game 6 or 7. For the Rockets, though, they got to I didn't get much sleep last night just because of the time of the game. The Rockets have to have gotten almost no sleep last night because of the missed opportunity. I know we're going to get into it more later. Yep. This was a golden opportunity. The Warriors could have blown this game open at the end of the first half. Could have been 30 points at the end of the first half. The Warriors went cold at the end of the first half, allowed the Rockets to stay just close enough. Rockets went on a run in the third quarter to tie it up. Then Kevin Durant goes out, and they can't close the game. James Harden is going to catch the heat. Chris Paul was the problem. And now they have back-to-back must-win games for their best chance to get
Yeah, someone need to put out an APB for Chris Paul. Man. Find him, apprehend him, and bring him to the arena in Houston for game number 6, hopefully that there is a game number 7. He was bad last night.
All right, the Golden State Warriors are without Kevin Durant now for the foreseeable future as this series shifts back to Houston for Friday night. We'll talk much more about that. Coming up, though, is there a new favorite to win the title now that KD is hurt? That's next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We'll be right back.
Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve on demand from your favorite restaurant. Restaurants come to you with DoorDash. You love to cook, but you're not in the mood to do dishes tonight. Watch your favorite show with your favorite people instead and get it delivered with DoorDash. What's the one dish from your favorite restaurant that you can never recreate at home? What if someone brought it right to your door? It's dinner time, but your stomach is rumbling and you still don't know what you're going to eat tonight. Sound familiar? With DoorDash, you don't need to get up from the couch to get a meal cooking. DoorDash connects you to all your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat and your Dasher will bring it to you, wherever you are. Not only is that burger place you love on DoorDash already, but over 310,000 other amazing restaurants are too. DoorDash connects you with door-to-door delivery in over 3,300 cities and all 50 states across the United States and Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code FTF. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code FTF. Again, that's promo code FTF for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Back to the show.
Back here, first things first, big news here at Fox Sports. Yesterday, Fox and the Stars Group announced plans to launch Fox Bets, the first of its kind national media and sports wagering partnership in the United States. This is all set to kick off in the fall with the launch of two products, a nationwide free-to-play game awarding cash prizes to players who correctly predict the outcome of sports games, and the Fox Bet app, which will give customers in states with regulated betting the opportunity to place real money wagers. Among people who are very happy, the guy that sits behind me. Fox Sports is truly all in.
This is awesome. This is so great.
I had him on the leash, but then he ran out.
No, this is so great. And no matter what state you live in, to your point, you can utilize this. And if you live in a state where they've done the right thing and they've legalized gambling, you can really utilize
and
this.
And I love the fact that now that instead of being a bookie, now he can just go they can go right into Nick's account and just get the money from the money they put there. Well, let's take a few stacks.
Oh, I do need to talk to some of the bosses. Can you guys just pay me in some credits?
Really what you want?
Think
about what you're
asking. It makes it easier to hide from my
Nick
wife.
Wants a lifetime deal.
Absolutely. I will sign a lifetime contract right now, this will be a part of it.
All right, we'll get to Bucks Celtics in a second. But first, Kevin Durant watched the full court pass to Steph Curry, manages the crazy reverse layup with Austin Rivers all over him.
It obviously way overshadowed by the injury, but Kevin Durant scored 20 points in the first half, and I don't know that anyone even mentioned it. He's been on such a tear offensively that a 20-point first half, everyone's focused on Klay.
Klay had 17. Yes, absolutely.
And Durant was spectacular with the passing as well in the first half.
Oh, that will be missed, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Same game, James Harden gets the Warriors' defense to bite, hits P.J. Tucker with the no-look.
Hadn't had enough of those attacking that baseline. P.J.'s typically in the corner, but they have to be able to attack the paint more, especially with Kevin Durant being out. Look to see more of this, Jenna.
Harden was sensational and efficient. He's going to catch a lot of smoke for the end of the game, though.
Bucks-Celtics. Al Horford thinks he had the easy bucket, but Giannis had other plans. Horford's shot gets sent out of bounds.
Man, I'm very curious where the various Boston Celtics had already booked their travel plans for this evening and tomorrow, because they were checked out of this game mid-second quarter.
Sticking with the Bucks, completed their gentleman sweep of the Celtics last night. At least they were gentlemen about it. It was a rout. 116-91 was the final in this one. The Bucks now await the winner of the Raptors-Sixers series in the Eastern Conference Finals. Kyrie Irving had a tough one, closing it out with 15 points on 21 shots in Game 5. Here's Celtics head coach Brad Stevens on a disappointing year.
I'll be the first to say that this is, you know, as far as any other year that I've been a head coach, it's certainly been the most trying. I think I did a bad job. Like, at the end of the day, like, as a coach, if your team doesn't find its best fit together, that's on you. And so I'll do a lot of deep dives into how I can be better.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going to doubt us, and that's the world of basketball, you know, and that's the world of media, you know, disrespect. There's going to be people that are going to be with us, and there's going to be people that are going to be against us and don't believe in us. But at the end of the day, we realize that we've never been there before, but we're really, really hungry to you know, achieve our goals.
CC, save for game one in this series, the Bucks looked really impressive, and now they are moving on. How impressive was Milwaukee in this series?
Milwaukee was very impressive, and it's an extension of what we saw during the regular season. I think Nick has done a great job in pointing out for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, what are we looking at? Because you shouldn't be surprised. This is a 62-win team. How they played basketball, I think that people don't understand, because you think of Giannis, and you don't think, okay, Giannis is not a great shooter. But they're a great shooting team, and they are going to hit that three-point line, be able to open up the lane for Giannis. They are a good defensive team. They got good length. They got guys are buying into the system as far as what they're going to do. And, Nick, from last year, you didn't know how much, but with the coaching change that they made, how the players developed, and from an X's and O's standpoint, that they would be a lot better. We didn't know from a game standpoint how many games, but you can see that with Coach Bud, how they do things, how they can counteract what you're trying to do, and how consistently they've been doing this. They've been blowing out people for 7 straight months. Yes. So we shouldn't be surprised these double-digit wins that they start to accumulate in the playoffs, Nick.
This is how much they improved. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the NBA championship. The Milwaukee Bucks this morning are the favorite. The Milwaukee Bucks have the best player. Any doubts you have?
I know you didn't get a lot of sleep and everything, mm-hmm. and, man, it's hard to do these early shows when you...
Yeah, no problem.
Do you realize what you're saying?
I realize what I'm saying. Given the uncertainty of Kevin Durant, given that if the Rockets get through it, they will have gone through a gauntlet, given the fact that we don't know yet if it's going to be Toronto or Philly, but either one of those teams is, if Philly gets there, they're going to be beat up. If Toronto gets there, they all of a sudden do not have a bench to deal with Milwaukee's. Any questions you had about Milwaukee were answered over these last 4 games when they eviscerated a Celtics team that had everything on the line. Not just this year, their future was on the line. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens said it, first year of his career where they didn't meet expectations, where he considered himself a disappointment. The Milwaukee Bucks are the best team in the NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks wake up this morning for the first time all season as the favorites to win the title, at least in my eyes. I don't know if Vegas agrees. And the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the championship. That is where I am at this morning. And there is no, when you have a team who is the second best three-point shooting team in the league, but their best player doesn't even shoot them, and they have the number one defense, and they just got a 50-40-90 guy back in Malcolm Brogdon, and they have a center that's 7 feet tall and shoots threes, there are no answers to the questions they demand of the opposing team.
And I think the most important 16 minutes that we might have seen in this playoffs might have been that 16 minutes that Malcolm Brogdon gave them. They get another knockdown shooter, a big guard, a 3D guy, a guy that can guard the wings, and another shooter like no other team in the playoffs at this stage. We're losing players. Warriors, they lost Boogie. They lost KD. Sure. And now we're getting back former rookie of the year who blends in well to what they're doing. I think that that point, as far as Brogdon and those 16 minutes that he got in that clinching game.
Yes. How hard would it be to look good playing Detroit and then playing a Celtics team that couldn't get together? How much adversity has this team really faced that makes you think, hey, I can overcome that, except for that one game, and I can still win and put it all together?
82 games. Same 82 games the rest of the teams played. How they played against the best teams in the league. What about their record on the road? Oh, how are they doing in their new arena playing at home? How have they, as a team, had that chemistry that I believe that is underrated? Ain't no locker room problems. No, oh, free agent. Chris Middleton's going to be a free agent. Do we hear anything about it? No, because they have handled this season. We can't be surprised. Great teams, and sometimes in winning a championship, you need a little favorable matchup.
Well, and I don't know that people look at – they only look at Boston as not providing adversity because the Bucks imposed their will on them and dominated
them. And great teams embarrass
you. They've been a terrible team all year.
The Celtics have
played way below their
– they have absolutely played below their expectations preparing for this moment. And the Bucks, after falling down 0-1, they beat them by an average of 20 points per game the rest of the series. The margin of victory matters in this.
Yeah, that's what great teams do to you, too.
The Bucks have 52 wins by double digits this year. They're 8-1 in the postseason. Everyone else this playoffs has at least 3 losses. They're 8-1. Their average margin of victory in those wins is 20 points. They have the exact same margin of victory through 9 games as the 72-win Chicago Bulls. They are a juggernaut. People don't want to believe it because they play in Milwaukee, and people, if we're being honest, weren't watching them this year. I don't have much of a life. I was watching them this year. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see how. The only question was, and the only reason I wasn't willing to make this prediction before the playoffs was, can Giannis skip 2 steps in the postseason? We saw him skip a couple steps during the regular season, but can he go from 1-and-done right in the postseason to best player on a champion? That usually takes a couple years. Giannis is ready. This team is ready. And the Durant injury just opens the door wider.
All right, let's talk about the Celtics. You heard Brad Stevens say, this one's on me. But who's really to blame for this disappointing Boston season?
There is no one person for this. And it's so... This is what we like to do. We like to build a pinpoint. But when you look at how this team has failed, you can go all the way from the top. Danny Ainge, he miscalculated in putting this team together. Brad Stevens did a bad job as far as – this is the most talented team he's ever coached. And he admitted it. I got to respect that. He admitted it before the world. I did a bad job. And collectively, the starters on this team – they know that they didn't do their best job. The leaders on this team, they didn't do a good job leading. The role players, did they totally buy in? What I saw this year was a talented roster, and we see this in the NFL a lot, where you go out and buy a bunch of free agents like we did with the Rams last year. Say, hey, how are they going to do in the locker room? And I try to tell you guys, don't worry about the NFL locker room. But chemistry is important in sports, and in basketball, it becomes very important. We didn't even think about chemistry. We thought last year they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, plug in 2 more former All-Stars, they're going to be even better. But they had awful chemistry. They did not have that what's important to you is important to me. No, they had their own agendas up and down this roster in horrible leadership, bad coaching, bad management by Danny Ainge. So Boston, they have to take this as an organization. I'm not going to put this on one person.
But 3 people more than any other deserve the lion's share of the blame. Brad Stevens, he can't only be praised. He can't only be Brad Stevens can only do well because he overachieves with an under-talented team. You just underachieved with an over-talented team. The highest paid player on the roster, Gordon Hayward. I understand we feel badly because we believe it's due to him shattering his leg last year, but at no point this season did he give you the punch you needed for a guy making $30 million a year. And for being honest, he didn't give you the punch you needed for a guy making $13 million a year. And then, of course, more than anyone, Kyrie Irving, who never once connected with the young players. Terry Rozier had a very interesting quote after the game. He said, I sacrifice more than anybody on this team. Oh, if you're on a team that you have players individually in their head keeping track of, I've sacrificed the most. He said, then guess what? You're not going to trust each other on rotations. You're not going to look forward to these road trips. We heard, oh, this plane ride, cross country fixed them. Nothing fixed them. Nothing this season was going to fix them, and they ran into a team that is the opposite. Milwaukee is totally united, and it ripped the Celtics apart at the seams.
And now the next question becomes, what happens to Kyrie Irving? We will discuss that today and all the todays that follow. And the Bucks are heading to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2001. Take a break. Coming up.
Plan the parade.
You are not going to believe what happened behind the scenes with Ty Lue and the Lakers. It's getting spicy.
You're really not going to believe it.
Next time, First Things First.
Because it is unbelievable.
This weekend, undefeated champ Jared Hurd puts his super welterweight titles on the line as he takes on top contender Julian Williams. That is Saturday, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
The pre-fight, I got y'all too.
Oh, me and Jenna?
Yes. No.
No problem, see? Catch me first.
90 seconds, you know he can't last.
Time for us to go viral. He was talking about a video game.
Okay.
Check this out from last night's Bucks-Celtics game. Packers offensive lineman David Bakhtiari chugging not one, two beers on the Jumbotron. His quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, was loving it.
Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick at the game. Yep. David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, who's he with?
I don't know.
Okay, who's he with? Okay.
Is. David Bakhtiari chugging two beers.
We need to get her some exposure.
Our great producer, Hubs. It's one of the things he's known for. That was great. There was also, they caught Danica in a really awkward moment on the broadcast.
Trying to pay for something.
Somebody bought her a drink. She was trying to give them the money. He wouldn't take the money.
A 20 spot.
Yeah, the whole thing, if you were watching, it was funny.
All right, time for stories to start your morning. Late third quarter, big scare for the Warriors taking on the Rockets. Kevin Durant goes down, grabbing his leg. So the good news, this was not an Achilles strain, which is what some of the players thought, just a calf strain. He would not return, though. KD will have an MRI later today. CC, can the Warriors win the title if KD is hurt?
Absolutely not. KD has been playing at a level that he's able to allow the other players. They can't be double-teamed. He frees up the court. And when they start to struggle, they put him at the point. Had him bringing the ball up, running the offense in the critical points of the game, especially in the fourth quarter. No, he will be missed, and his defense will be missed.
I don't believe they will. I believe they can. I think the Warriors are the only team in the playoffs that could lose their best or second best player and still be in position to win a championship. But I think the team that comes out of the East this year, Milwaukee, is too good, and they might not be able to get past Houston. The other element, though, is if this had been an Achilles, it wouldn't just be this season. It would have thrown all of the free agency plans into disarray. The New York Knicks fans were holding their breath as much as Warrior fans last night awaiting this prognosis. Long-term-wise, much better to cap, not an Achilles. For the rest of this series, though, he's out either way.
All right, moving on. Big win for the Bucks last night. They took care of the Boston Celtics, 115-91. They finish off the gentleman's sweep. Nick, how impressive were the Bucks in this series?
Listen, they were impressive enough. If you had any questions about them, you shouldn't anymore. I believe they're going to win the NBA championship. They have won their 8 playoff games by an average of 20 points per game. They're not just dominating people by 8-1. They're blowing people out. And they got Malcolm Brogdon back yesterday, which is just an added bonus.
Yeah, they've been sensational all season. I think there still will be question marks about them because how many real series have they won? You talked about Giannis potentially skipping a couple steps as a superstar, but this is a great team that's had a great NBA season. And let's not forget, Nick, how many double-digit wins this season?
Now they're at 52.
Yeah, that's a world champion stat right there.
All right, the other side of this was the Celtics, and it was a tough series for Kyrie Irving. 15 points on 21 shots to cap off a stretch of 4 awful games for him, all of them losses, 30% from the field, less than 20% from 3. Tough for the guy who wanted his own team. Here's Kyrie Irving after the game.
Truth be told, it's no time to be disappointed. I think that, you take your lessons, you take your ass whooping that they handed us, and you move on. I know I won't forget something like this, and, the taste of feeling defeat in the in this type of style, being down 1-4, I haven't felt. So, for me, it's just moving on to the next thing and just seeing where that ends up.
You know, you wonder if that taste in his mouth is sour enough for him to come back and want to right the ship. Also, once you're down 1-4, you're done. It's yes. There's no comeback.
Yeah, you're not down 1-4.
You're done 1-4 is what you are. So, see, what did this year tell you about Kyrie Irving?
This is the most disappointing thing about Kyrie. And I'm all for players controlling where they want to play and what they want to do, controlling their brand, controlling what they want to do. But I'm all about, Nick, I'm about improving. And Kyrie Irving, since he hit that shot in Golden State, what year was that?
2016. June of 2016, Father's Day.
He is not as good a basketball player today as he was that day. And we're not talking about Chris Paul age. How old is Kyrie?
Kyrie's 27.
27 years old and not getting better. And now we saw him for the first time put in a full-blown leadership role. So his skill on the basketball court, I know people are debating, oh, man, he had one of the best seasons ever. But he's not a better player than he was when he was on that team, the Cavs, and they won the world championship. And I believe for every player, regardless of looking at this series, looking at yourself, seeing where your game is and realizing, man, how much more do I have to improve? So for me, with Kyrie Irving, that's what it's been. A guy that you can't say injuries have sapped his game, but his inability to be able to play only one way has limited his growth and potential as a basketball player, Nick.
This is a disastrous ending to a disastrous season. Kyrie Irving, the leader, had an awful regular season. Kyrie Irving, the on-the-court, during-the-game player, was really good. Statistically, best year of his career. He's going to make an All-NBA team for just the second time of his career. The numbers speak for themselves as far as what he was doing individually and assist-wise, getting people involved. But Kyrie Irving, the leader, was the biggest problem with the Celtics during the regular season. He took repeated shots at the younger players. Because he wasn't a leader. He took repeated shots at the younger players to the point to where Jaylen Brown finally got sick of it and shot back. He made his pending free agency a much bigger story than he needed to when he was here in New York City. And he said, ask me July 1st. I don't owe anybody anything. And then Kyrie Irving, the player, fell apart over these last four games. So bad leadership in the season. Last four games, he's 25 of 83, 30%, as you mentioned, less than 19% from three. I mean, last night, it's a 3-1 is you're in desperate straits. But you know who knows you can come back from 3-1 down? Kyrie Irving. Because in 2016, that's what they did against a team that was better than these Milwaukee Bucks. And in that this game, you're 6 of 21 with one assist. One assist, Kyrie. Mm-hmm. And I think Kyrie can tell the story himself, Jenna. Just look at, here's about 5 to 10 seconds from Kyrie's post-game press conference from each of the five games this series. Just watch it and let Kyrie tell you the story of the season.
It's just one game. You know, we're not going to shoot as well as we did. You know, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope it does. There's no extra burden. You know, this is what I signed up for. This is what Boston traded for me for.
It's really just about being efficient, especially the rest of the series. You know, from this point on, I don't think you'll see another 8 for 22, you know, or any missed layups or looking for the refs for calls or anything like that.
For me, the 22 shots, you know, I should have shot 30. You know, it really, I'm not great of a shooter. The taste of feeling defeat in the, you know, in this type of style, you know, being down 1-4, you know, I haven't felt. So, you know, for me, it's just moving on to the next thing and just seeing where that ends up.
And Kyrie was right. He didn't go 8 for 22 again. He went 7 for 22 and then 6 for 21. And I think the story for him is he asked for something he wasn't ready for yet. He asked for his own team to be the leader of young players, and he just unfortunately was not ready for that yet.
Yet is the key word. That this might not be what he wants to do. He might now have to go pair with someone else and say, you know what, I'm going to spin this back. It was working with LeBron. I needed someone else there. I saw what it was like. I'm taking 22, I should have taken 30. That to me was the biggest example of this is all about me. I'm in here. It's not about anyone else. I got to sort of will my way to victory here. And see, we talked about this from the beginning with Kyrie. Mm-hmm. He started off, his personality was great. He was upbeat the beginning of the series, and it took a drastic downhill turn, and it turned into the old Kyrie again.
Yeah, Kyrie's at a crossroad as far as his career because this is something that he put this in motion. He's the one let the Cavs know, I don't want to be here anymore. The Celtics weren't on his list of teams. So you would think while he was there, he was going to try to make the best of it. And this did not turn out. And you could hear just at the end, he said, well, we'll see where this ends up. Not very, very positive. Kyrie Irving's played his last basketball game with the Celtics, something Nick and I have been saying all year.
As your guy Danny Green said, these Celtics, they are who we thought they were all season.
Yeah, Danny
long.
Green, okay.
I thought I'd just throw that one in there. To the Lakers now in the continued drama that surrounds this team. Ty Lue, who earlier this week was all but a lock to be their next head coach, will now not be their next head coach. Nick, you reported last night that Ty Lue walked away when the Lakers only offered a 3-year deal. Lue was seeking 5. Also, reports have now surfaced. The Lakers wanted Lue to include former head coach Jason Kidd on his staff. Nick, you've been all over this from the beginning. Tell us what you know and where things lie right now in Los Angeles.
All right, let me just lay out the timeline. This is from my own reporting. It has to do with the Rambis family angle to this. The rest of it is compiled by Tanya Ganguly, Adrian Wojnarowski, and Mark Stein. But here's the timeline. Ty Lue did enough to get this job a week ago. Impressed Jeannie Buss, impressed her brothers who are still part of the organization, impressed Rob Pelinka. The reason he was not offered the job a week ago is Jeannie, as had been reported, was worried about the optics, worried that it would look like LeBron was in charge. Jeannie then had dinner with Magic, and Magic told her, you cannot worry about the optics. It is about maximizing the time with LeBron. Ty is a good coach. LeBron will respond to Ty. Go with him. It was at that moment the Lakers had set themselves on Ty Lue, with Ty Lue. Ty Lue had a Lakers birthday cake celebration this past Friday, getting ready to be the head coach. And then Linda and Kurt Rambis stepped in. Linda Rambis, who is right now the second most powerful person in the organization, so powerful, Kurt Rambis gets his power by shuffling off her, not the other way around. They came in and said,
wait, what is Linda's job title right now?
Linda's job title, she's like a special advisor to Jeannie Buss.
Okay. Special projects.
Special projects, thank you. But she's been with the organization for decades, and she's very close with Jeannie Buss. Linda and Kurt Rambis, and this is what I'm reporting, slowed this whole thing down and said, if you're going to hire Ty, you need to make some demands. He's not going to walk away. He doesn't have other offers. You need to make demands of his coaching staff, of which I'm told Ty Lue was willing to acquiesce to. Jason Kidd, they wanted him on the coaching staff. Ty Lue was going to come around on that. And the Rambises told Jeannie, do not offer him more than 3 years. Forget the fact that Luke Walton got 5 years, that the standard coaching deal is 5 years, $25 million.
Yes.
And so their initial offer to Ty.
That's embarrassing.
It's insulting. Their initial offer to Ty was 3 years, less than $18 million. Everyone is reporting the final offer was 3 years, $18 million. I've been told it was actually 3 years, $19 million. And when Ty asked directly, why are you offering me a 3-year deal when Luke got a 5-year deal? He was told, matter-of-factly, we are hiring you to coach LeBron more than we are hiring you to coach the Lakers. LeBron has 3 years left on his contract. And at that point, Ty Lue said, I don't need this, and walked away. The Lakers tried to spin it like they walked away. That has now been roundly refuted. But if not for Linda and Kurt Rambis, Ty Lue would have been the head coach of the Lakers over the weekend. Now he'll never be the head coach of the Lakers, and they have to start their search all over.
It's a disaster. I mean, it's a disaster. Like, I've been cheering for the Lakers for a long time. I tell the story often. I was in the library in the 9th grade. And my brother got drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers. And they were already a great franchise. But as a young kid in the projects, his brother, man, dreaming of playing in the NBA, to be drafted by this franchise. And by the way, they had Magic Johnson. They had Kareem. Man, they had a great basketball organization. And what I have seen through the years in them winning championships in pursuit of free agents, and this has been a disaster since Phil Jackson left. I'm going to give you a list of guys. Since Phil Jackson, the head coach, Mike Brown, fired after 5 games in his second season.
Yeah, five.
Bernie Bickerstaff, interim, 5 games. D'Antoni, the dude coaching in Houston who couldn't coach, his system don't work. Oh.
He's doing pretty good in Houston.
Yeah, they fired him too. Byron Scott, the homie, they brought him in for 2 seasons and then fired him. Luke Walton, another homie, brought him in for 3 seasons and then didn't want to fire him. He had to be able to walk away so he can go to the Sacramento job. So the Lakers have been bad. The last 6 years, I think that people have missed out on how they've managed this. So when you hear stories like that, the Rambis family, Jeannie Buss, this is how you become the organization that they are. before the six-year run that they're on now where they have not made the playoffs, Jenna, something will surprise you. I'm not into the numbers like Nick, but the last 6 years, the Lakers have lost the same number of games as the sorry New York Knickerbockers.
Wow.
The same number.
Wow. And they've missed the playoffs more times in the last 6 years than they had in the history of the organization.
They had only missed the playoffs five times.
Going back to Minneapolis.
Before they went on this run. So you people wonder, are you surprised? Well, I'm still surprised, and they've made a bunch of bad decisions the last five, 6 years.
And on the Rambis family, the idea that that this couple has this much power over what was once the greatest organization in basketball, one of the
greatest. Wasn't one of the demands that Kurt was going to be the number one bench coach to?
It was Frank Vogel. It was then Jason Kidd, which Ty Lue, I'm told, was going to acquiesce to. Kurt Rambis' name was floated. The hell does Kurt Rambis know about NBA coaching? I just want to let everyone know, because Ty Lue is evidently not a good NBA coach. You offer him a three-year deal like he's an assistant coach that you're being nice to give him an offer. Kurt Rambis has coached three separate teams. He briefly coached the Los Angeles Lakers. They had Shaq and Kobe. They got swept in the second round. He's gone. They immediately win the title the next year.
Yes.
He then was the head coach of your Minnesota Timberwolves. He won 15 games and followed that up with a great improvement of 17 games. Had they just given him 25 years, he'd have got that thing turned around. He then briefly coached the New York Knicks to a 9-19 record. If you take out the 37 games he coached with Shaq and Kobe where they wildly underachieved, his career coaching record is 41-141. And while he was on the Knicks, he couldn't even manage to use Twitter without mortifying the franchise. He gets to make demands. And by the way, Lakers, if you like Jason Kidd so much, I think he's a bad coach, but not my decision. If you like Jason Kidd so much, you're going to demand Ty Lue put him on his staff. Just hire Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
That was available to you. And the idea that, and the one other element, we're only going to give you 3 years because it matches up with LeBron's timeline. First of all, LeBron has told no one he's retiring at the end of this deal. He wants Kareem's record. That's probably going to take 3.5 years. And if you give a coach a 5-year deal and you fire him after three, all that is money. There's no reason you can't do that. This was ludicrous.
Typically, you make these demands on someone's desperate. You don't make these demands on someone. The Cavs owe Ty Lue $10 million.
Right.
You know how easy it was for him to walk away from this?
Listen, the only desperation right now seems to be on the side of the Los Angeles Lakers because now they're starting from scratch and we haven't even touched on free agency yet. All right, take a break. Coming up, are the Warriors doomed if Kevin Durant can't return to the floor? This is First Things First. Back here at First Things First, always a good time in commercial breaks. FS1 NBA analyst Sarah Kustok joins
us. Ms. Kustok, wonderful to see you.
Hey, great to see you guys.
That is
you
a great color.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk some Rockets. Warriors, Sarah, this was pivotal game 5. We'll pick this up late third quarter. Big scare for the Warriors. Kevin Durant goes down, holds his leg, strains his calf. Good news, it was not the Achilles. He would not return. He'll have an MRI later today. He is now questionable moving forward. Fourth quarter. This game was close. Warriors up 2. Draymond Green drilling the 3. Happy man right there. Goes bananas. Afterwards, 15 seconds left. Warriors up 3. Klay Thompson nearly loses it. Watch Kevon Looney get it back for him. And Klay right there to finish up the layup. Warriors win 104-99. They go up 3-2. Sarah, I'll start with you. How did the Warriors beat the Rockets after KD left the game?
It was a little bit of everything. I think we point the first thing you focus on is the way Steph and Klay played. And I think Steph Curry is the one guy we've had question marks throughout the course of this entire series. When was he going to start being more efficient from the field? When was he going to start making shots at the clip that we are used to seeing? And so he seemed to take over throughout the course of that stretch. But you mentioned the name Kevon Looney. Like, Looney was someone who I think was so critical throughout the course of the game, some of the offensive rebounds that he had, some of the putbacks, the way in which he was able to really, throughout the course of that fourth quarter, because of the rebound, offensive rebounding, even Draymond Green, it forced Houston to go out of their small lineup, put Clint Capella back on the floor. The Warriors could attack from that scenario and really finding Capella. But I think overall it was just a matter of the Warriors playing with more of that freestyle ball movement, player movement, and getting back to the championship type caliber that we have seen, and also put some of that on the Houston Rockets too, because, yes, you know, and I know we could talk about this later, but James Harden didn't have the same type of assertiveness, aggressiveness that we would anticipate. There was some turnovers on the end of the Rockets. I think you credit the Warriors' defense with that. But to me, more of it was a collective team effort by the Warriors and a team that is not necessarily deep. But when they needed big plays, whether it was Iguodala, whether it was Draymond Green, guys stepped up in a timely manner.
Yeah, Steph Curry was the biggest as far as not only the time that KD was out, but just the second half. KD scored 20 in the first half. Steph picked up that number, 20, in the second half. What he did in the fourth quarter, it was critical because it was hard to be able to get a bucket. It was hard for both teams to be able to score, and the points that he scored, it made it easier on the other team. But a lot of coaches that I've talked to, especially in the last several years, there's a word that they use all the time, and they said the reason why they like training camp and the reason why they like the long duration of the season is because you're able to determine how much grit does this team have. And this Golden State team, regardless, they didn't have Boogie, didn't have KD, but through the last 5 years, they have developed this togetherness and grit and how we're going to fight. They are not just a three-point shooting team. Nick, you have pointed out that over these last 3 years, over this run, their defense has gotten worse. Mm-hmm. So even when their offense was at its best, they were still a gritty defensive team. And that's what I saw when KD went out. Collectively, they said, we're going to come together. It's not about Klay. It's not about Steph. It's about us. It's about us rebounding. It's about loose balls. It's about all those little things that sometimes they're not on the stat sheet. That was championship pedigree basketball there. I'm going to sacrifice because I believe in us. And that's what, compared to what we didn't see with Boston,
right,
that's what we saw with the Warriors who were outmanned.
And this is where the Warriors are so unique compared to any other dynastic run in NBA playoff history, where they won a championship before 35 got there, before Kevin Durant got there. So in this critical moment, what could have been the final quarter ever played at Oracle Arena, they couldn't just pull on experience of playing without Kevin Durant, the 33 games that he's missed when Steph's been out there since he's been on the Warriors. They could pull on championship experience. They could pull on, all right, hey, Klay, you here? Steph, you here? Dre, Iggy, let's go. And Draymond has been the heartbeat of this team and willed this team on the defensive end. He has gamed the system to a degree almost where he's always so out of control with the refs that the standard to give him a technical has to be you knee a guy in the head, but he can just go crazy otherwise, and that energizes the crowd, that energizes his teammates, it energizes him. He's shooting 14% from three, nails an open three, and Steph, before KD went out, Steph was 4 of 14, 1 of 8 from 3. Once KD went out, he was 5 of 9, 2 of 3 from 3, and scored 16 points in the final 14 minutes of the game. Steph got back to being Steph. Klay, who was exceptional in the first quarter, and then for some reason they didn't find the ball to him. They didn't get the ball in the second and third quarter. He got the ball more, and it's like, oh, it's the original Warriors. And the original Warriors beat down, I shouldn't say beat down, but they beat the Rockets in the fourth quarter of this
game. But to me, that was the only time we saw a desperate Warriors team that said, oh, we have to win. Let's finally all get on the same page, not just assume that Kevin Durant's going to bail us out again or someone else is going to have that odd hand. You didn't have him for the fourth quarter. How about moving forward? Because it's questionable now when he comes back. Can they do this night after night? Can they play that desperate basketball? Well,
they've got to win one of two. And I think they will because of that championship pedigree, because of the way now there's no one to defer to. There's no Kevin Durant that you have that security blanket that he is going to bail you out. So will Steph Curry show up at the level that we're accustomed to seeing him? Will Klay Thompson be that hot shooter that goes on stretches, gives you buckets? I think it's still going to be a huge challenge. I don't think the Warriors now are in the clear because they pulled out this game. However, I do think it's kind of looking one another's in the eyes, knowing what you've done in the past, having won a championship with this core group, and now this is the greatest test of all, and the greatest test of what type of legacy are Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green going to continue to build.
And Chris, you said before the show, though, a little deja vu, right?
Yes, sir.
As far as last year, a tightly contested Game 5, the team with home court advantage in the series pulls it out while losing one of their top two guys for the rest of the series. And the question is, can the Rockets this year respond the way the Warriors last year did. You know what I mean? The question is, mm-hmm. can the Rockets do what they were unable to do last year, and can the Warriors do what the Rockets were unable to do last year, which is overcome the loss of one of their top guys?
Yeah, I just believe, and because it's game six, in those 48 minutes, I believe that the overall wear and tear will have an effect on the Warriors because, yeah, they do have championship pedigree, but they don't have a bench. And there ain't no time to recover. You can't go free agency and bring in another player. They have lost two all-star players in this playoff run. We can't miss that. Like, there's no other NBA team that would be able to survive that. And, Nick, the one thing that you said in this charmed run that the Warriors have been on, there's one thing they've avoided.
Injury.
And that's injury. And it's coming home to pay. Same way it hurt LeBron with Kevin Love and Kyrie, it is coming home to pay. These NBA playoffs are so taxing. After an 82 game, I think we underestimate what it does to the bodies. And every year when we start the playoffs, I'm going to be like, let's watch for a significant injury. Because if the last several years, if we look at it, it has played out. You know, you cover it, you see it. These guys' body is starting to fail them. Kevin Durant, a basic jump shot. Made it, trying to run back down the court, strains his calf. So let's bake some of that into it, the wear and tear that the Warriors are going to go through and what these guys have to do in playing a game six that doesn't mean anything to them.
Well, I'm also curious about the wear and tear, though, of James Harden and Chris Paul. I think that plays into it. What fatigue are they starting mm-hmm. to experience at this point?
All right, we got to take a break. Sarah, we'll see you a little bit later on. Coming up, we'll talk Lakers. Could they actually consider trading LeBron James? Wouldn't put it past him at this point.
He could only be so lucky.
Next on First Things First.
Is he going to ask for a trade?
Back here, First Things First. It's been an interesting year for LeBron and the Lakers. No Anthony Davis. Then no Magic Johnson, now no Ty Lue. The storied franchise hitting some major roadblocks on their path back to success, and things are about to get a little more interesting. According to reports, people close to Jeannie Buss are begging her to trade away LeBron James. My partner, Nick Wright, is apoplectic. Jeez. Nick, are the Lakers crazy to even consider something like this?
I'm not apoplectic. It would be good for LeBron at this point. This is the New York Knicks West.
Yeah, what are you getting upset about? This is one of the better things I've heard.
No. I'm...
Did you say the Knicks West?
Yeah, they're the Knicks
That's
West.
That's great.
My reaction is one of utter dismay. I know there are people, because they tweet to me every day, that have a LeBron James derangement syndrome, that have never liked him, that think he's always been overrated, propped up by the media, should be 1-8 in the NBA Finals, don't like how he manipulates situations. Those are supposed to be Twitter trolls, not someone with the ear of the Los Angeles Lakers owner. What is LeBron? I'm just curious. What's his biggest mistake he's made to where you'd be imploring the team to trade him away? Because the plan's still in place now. Still have max cap space. Still trying to get another free agent. He showed you this year when he was on the court, he was still 27-8-8. Same guy he's been forever. Was his biggest mistake allegedly being involved in the Anthony Davis trade rumors? Well, guess what? If they had traded for Anthony Davis, what would we be saying about the Lakers right now? Holy crap, they could win the title. If they're on the side of the bracket with the Denver Nuggets right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. The Warriors are limping without Kevin Durant. So, but other than that, LeBron has stayed quiet. What, because he didn't want Luke Walton as his coach? Okay, I don't blame LeBron for that one. Who is incentivized to say, you've got to trade LeBron, unless it's someone that came into the situation already not liking LeBron? Which would lead me to believe it's the same type of people that would come into the situation and say, hey, I know you want to hire Ty Lue as the coach. Don't hire Ty Lue as the coach. This has, once again, the Rambis fingerprints all over it. And to me, it makes no sense. I know why, if the report was LeBron wants to trade, but that's not the report. Why would the Lakers want to trade LeBron? I don't understand it.
Okay, Nick. I'm just going to tell you, like I tell you, warn me when you're getting ready to say something that's out there. For me,
okay.
If I'm the Lakers, I'm thinking about trading LeBron James.
Why?
Because I don't know what kind of free agent I'm going to be able to get to secure to play with LeBron James. And if I don't have the actual draw of Magic Johnson no more and LeBron James, that now all this, because LeBron's going to take a hit for this Ty Lue thing. when players and their agents are out there, just like you're saying, oh, people got this LeBron James syndrome. There's a real thing in the NBA. It's not the whole NBA, but there is a thing with certain agents and certain players that they believe that there's too much drama surrounding LeBron James. So if I don't get the free agent that I want, I'm considering trading LeBron. Because what good is it going to – who you going to beat, you and Kimba? Who y'all going to beat in the NBA?
Oh, well, so you're saying you the Kimba wouldn't even – I thought you were saying if they struck out entirely on free agency. I mean,
where are we going with you and Kimba for the next 3 years?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Dame and CJ might make the conference finals this year. Jokic and Murray might make – one of those two teams going to make the conference finals.
What is that going to do for LeBron's legacy, making to the conference finals?
Okay, well, no, I understand it's not about making to the conference finals. My point is you make the conference finals, right there. But that's not the –
Okay, go ahead.
That's not – I don't want to argue about if LeBron and Kimba could do it. But why would LeBron take a hit for them butchering the coaching search? LeBron and Rich Paul –
because it's basketball, Nick, and the star players always do. They have so much influence, real influence, and some of it is things that people make up. So LeBron – he's LeBron James.
I get why he takes a hit for the Luke Walton situation, for Luke getting fired, fair or not. But LeBron and his agent, Rich, have stayed out of the coaching situation entirely. They targeted a coach.
People don't want to believe that, though. We know that to be true.
Okay, but let's say even if they don't believe that, unless they think all the NBA reporters are making up what just happened in the last 72 hours, the Lakers targeted a coach. They had an agreement. It was a coach who has won a championship, and the Lakers screwed it up.
But also, don't forget the verbiage that came out of there. They offered him a 3-year contract, said you're only here to coach LeBron James.
Yes.
What if you're another star coming in?
Okay, so that's my question. How much does what happened in the last 24 hours affect free agents coming to the
Lakers? I just believe we should do musical chairs. Let's just take the top free agents, let's just play the music, and let's just see. Kevin Durant's not going there.
No.
All right? Klay's not going there. Kawhi...
This did not help the Kawhi situation, this type of lunacy. Kawhi's going from an organization in Toronto, if he leaves, that has a clear power structure, that has an excellent GM, that has a really good young coach.
He's not going to a circus. He's going to go to the well-established, well-run organization that's 30 feet from the Lakers.
Yeah. Who else? Give me another free agent.
It's Kyrie.
Kyrie? Oh, yeah, that leadership. Oh, that's going to be great.
Well, I think Kyrie and LeBron would be great because Kyrie wouldn't have to be the leader because LeBron can be the leader. But would Kyrie sign up for this? The Lakers threw none of their own. They didn't deserve. They didn't do anything right to get LeBron. He went there because his wife and kids wanted to be in L.A. He thinks he can win anywhere he goes, and they cleared the book salary cap-wise.
The only thing LeBron did wrong was... he should have had a better relationship with Jenny Buss going in. He should have never trusted Magic Johnson to believe that Magic was going to be the guy. Now, hindsight's always 20/20. And now with Magic leaving, I'm out of here. I'm not part of this. He don't have that relationship. He should have been meeting with Jenny Buss. She owns the team at the beginning. They met with the wrong guy who ran out on them. Now where does he go?
But I just want to circle back to the very beginning of this briefly. We don't yet know if they're going to strike out on free agents. Maybe Anthony Davis doesn't like the circus going on, but he also doesn't have a say on where he's traded. We don't know if they're going to be able to trade for Anthony Davis. None of those dominoes have or haven't fallen yet, right? That's in the future. So with that unknown, what would the incentive be for someone to be saying to the owner, I'm imploring you to trade LeBron? Unless you never wanted LeBron on the team. Unless you went into the situation thinking LeBron shouldn't be a Laker. This is a Kobe organization. We are not a player-dominated organization. We are the Lakers. And now there is mayhem caused, I believe, by the same two people in the coaching situation that was set. If Kurt and Linda Rambis don't screw up the Ty Lue situation, none of this. You have the coach in place. It's a coach that is well respected in the league.
You have a star who's staying there.
You have there's no question, are you trading LeBron when you hire Ty Lue? The only way to start this conversation was to first scuttle the Ty Lue situation. One domino down.
Right.
Now a conversation of trading LeBron.
But now, doesn't it become so much more apparent why Magic left now that we're starting to peel back all the layers of what's been going on behind the scenes within the organization?
Yeah, Nick and I had heard he wanted to try to do some things they wouldn't let him do. That's the reason why he walked out. So I'm not surprised at all. But if you look at the Lakers' record, where they've been the last 6 years, you called them the Knicks of the West. Same number of losses as the Knicks the last 6 years, and haven't made the playoffs in 6 years after the franchise had only missed the playoffs 5 times before that. Like, this is what we should expect coming out of the Lakers. Jenny Buss is not going to wake up and her dad's going to be running the team all of a sudden. No, this is the way she's going to run it. That's her circle of influence. Those are the people she keeps going back for, and they have made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And if you believe that the free agents aren't looking at that and realize, like, I can go to Jerry West, I can go to Doc Rivers, Steve Ballmer got way more money. So what are we talking about now? It ain't a matter of the banners, the tradition here. You know, there ain't no difference between the Lakers and the Clippers now.
And you have to assume this is probably not the last mistake that the Brass.
They still don't have a coach.
Right.
They still...
Take a break. Coming up, how will
they don't have a team president.
Forward after Katie's injury, Nick's going to get a glass of water. We're back.
They got a shadow owner in Linda Rambis trying to get him to trade the only thing they got, LeBron.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.